Hey there, After Buzzers. Join us for Season 2, Episode 1 of Divorce. The divorce is final, and now we get to follow Robert and Francis on their journey after the fact. Join us now as we break down Episode 1.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The things we do for love.
Hey there, AfterBuzzers. I'm Miriam Gonzalez, your host for AfterBuzz's Divorce After Show, HBO's Divorce After Show. Sorry, it's been a minute since I've been here. Getting back on the bike right now.
Back in the saddle.
Yes, back in the saddle, just as our characters are. I'm Miriam Gonzalez. You can follow me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez. To my left are my lovely ladies.
Hi, Fern Ronay here. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay.
Hi, I'm Monique Loveless, and you can find me on all platforms at Upfront with Mo.
What's up? I'm Katie Foley, and you can follow me everywhere at Katie Did What Now. Just don't stalk me. I may have to divorce you. Sorry, bad one.
I'm totally appropriate. Totally appropriate. So tonight, ladies, we are breaking down Season 2, Episode 1, Night Moves. They have finally finalized the divorce. Now, we have many characters to talk about, and I'd like to start with the smaller ones and make our way into the big story. Of course, my favorite two characters, the very, very crazy Diane and Nick.
Yes, right.
Their relationship is just beyond, beyond. I mean, last season, she literally tried to kill him.
Right.
Right, yes. Last season, episode one.
Yes. Episode one.
Yes. Which is, and now episode one, they're just...
Right, so ironic that, you know, Thomas Hayden Church and Sarah Jessica Parker decided to break up, you know, and that actually, the trying to kill him actually they brought them closer, you know? Yeah.
It always takes one little thing.
Yes. But the reason it brought them closer is weird. When she talks about it with Francis, it's just... She's weird.
What did she just brushed it off. She was like, oh, that was...
She was just like, oh, that was, you know, that was the past. And then she said, I love the tension of us not talking and him not being around. And then we'll go into this passionate place and then he just leaves. So when he talked about the retirement, she was like, I'm going to kill him again.
They started doing this based on this book by some therapist or what have you called Positive Proposition, where if they have nothing positive to say to one another, they don't say anything at all, which has them not talking, and no words leads to hot monkey sex all the time.
Yes.
So, of course, they like each other. They're doing nothing but having sex.
Exactly.
So the minute that,
being
like...
complimented.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, you look wonderful today. Mm-hmm. Great. I totally want to hit that, too.
Right.
If you're telling me I look wonderful and not saying anything negative, like you're getting on my nerves, which they typically would do in the past.
Yes.
So the fact that they're, like, engaging in nothing but positive behavior...
That's so weird to me, though, because I'm... such a person that needs to talk all the time. I just posted today about that because all my friends are like, I used to get in trouble. I used to, like, just talking is my thing. So I don't know how they're doing it. Like, that's so weird to me.
Yeah.
I can't fathom how you would find hot sex in, like, not talking to each other.
Right. Well, it's like the opposite.
Yeah. Like fighting would bring on hot sex.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Something. Or some just kind like of talking. Some kind of communication would seem to bring on hot sex, but...
Well, the way that they were fighting in the last season, which is what prompted her to shoot at him in her drunken rage, they weren't exactly... Their talking wasn't leading to the hot sex. It was leading to, I'm going to pull a gun on you. You know, he was stopping her from doing things that she... from her being herself, which is why, like, when she goes and meets Francis at the gallery.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, no, I'm not drinking. I'm not entertaining that. Mm-hmm. Because for her to do that, that's going to lead to her being kind of towards Nick.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Her true feelings will come out.
Then she won't have anything nice to say.
Right. Well, then she has nothing to say then. If she doesn't have anything nice to say, she can't say nothing at all. I just feel like it's so weird.
Hence
that. If that turned you on, that's kind of different.
And so all she really likes about him is that he's silent. He goes to the office and isn't there most of the day. Right. And he makes a lot of money and she can give loans to her friends.
Right.
So when he retires, all of those things go away. He's home.
Yes.
And he probably has to watch his money.
That's exactly what her face was like, oh my gosh, no way. You cannot retire. This is so bliss right now. Like, right, I never have to talk or really see you besides the time that we have sex. And
I can just spend your money.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like that. Perfect. I guess that is perfect.
Poor Diane.
Sign up for that. Perfect situation. I need one of those. I take that back.
Is it poor Diane? Is it more like poor Nick?
Right.
Yes. Poor Nick. What he signed up for.
Yes.
But that's what he signed up for.
Right.
So speaking of hot, hot sex, we have Dallas and the super, super sexy attorney.
Yes.
That is just... Such an ass. He really is.
He is. Oh my gosh, he is.
But they have like the hottest sex in the entire planet.
They do, but it's so angry. I feel it's just angry.
It's such a betrayal to Francis. Like, I'm so used to sex, and you know, you can't compare. It's totally different. But the girls in Sex and the City would never do that to her. Like, she had such good friends. Like, these two friends, one's like a dipshit and she's just off a rocker. And then the other one is like, how could she do that to Francis? I feel like it's a betrayal in a
Absolutely.
Sense.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a betrayal because they're all adults. Like, if my friend, if I was going through a divorce, that's our situation. I cannot hold anything against you with your personal situation unless you're sleeping with my husband.
Now,
we have a betrayal problem. But if you're getting it on with the attorney that's taking me down, I mean, I'm in my house, I might be a little upset with you, but at the same time, I'd be happy for you because you're finally getting some.
Right, but I mean, it's the same token, that attorney is trying to ruin Francis's life. And here's Dallas, you know, it's supposed to be her girl who has her back. It just seems a little hypocritical.
But he's hot and doing his job. He's hot and doing his job. So in France, I mean, in Dallas, clearly is not getting any, and her son doesn't like her either. So it's like she has nothing really going in her life but maybe some hot sex right now.
Well, it's the fact too that they're not necessarily going out on dates. She's treating it like a patient situation. So that's his and her version of like therapy session.
Yes.
It's a little sexcapade. They're both getting what they want out of it, and that's just that.
Yeah. Yes. I think as a friend, she knows that they're not going to be together. Like, it's not like a being together situation. It's more like
flip the desk.
Rocks off. Yeah, get you some so you can take that edge off.
Francis is going to feel. She's going to find out.
Oh, she's going to find out. Yeah, because Robert just found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think she...
Oh, I don't know if she'll necessarily care. She's got too much on her plate.
Right.
And as we see, you know, she doesn't care about the mundane things. So at the beginning of the episode, we see that they're now in the lawyer's office with said lawyer. And they are now going and finalizing the divorce process.
Yes.
Now, Fern, you are an attorney, so you know how...
Not a divorce lawyer.
Not a divorce lawyer, but you know. Like, you have an idea of how these things... Better than I. I mean, are you ladies?
My dad used to be actually a divorce attorney, and he stopped.
Oh my
God. He couldn't handle it anymore. He said it was so depressing.
But we have to have him call in one day.
Yes, definitely.
Right.
But it's one of those things where you see the they're ready to say, like, sign the papers, be done with it. Of course, Robert is grasping for straws. He's like, oh, wait, I want the Eagles album.
Yes.
The lawyers are like, all right, let's draw up new paperwork. It's like, why are we trying to prolong something? They definitely want something, this to be over with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Francis definitely wants it to be over.
Yeah.
Right.
Robert's so petty. Just in his nature.
The Eagles album.
Yes.
You know? And I feel like he's still holding on.
Yes, I definitely feel that way.
Like,
he's like, I want the Eagles album. She's like, you called the police on me, but I forgive you. Like, she just wants out.
She just wants out.
And he's trying to hold on because he's in a, I mean, like, you know, men get in a comfortable spot.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he's also comfortable. It really wasn't his choice.
She was the one
who had the affair. You know?
Well, she wanted the divorce first, and then when he found out, he wanted the divorce.
Yes.
And that's when she was like, yeah, you're right. We need to get it
right.
Yeah,
I mean, he did have the emotional affair, which is just as bad as banging someone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, emotional any sort of intimacy when you're in a marriage, especially or in a serious commitment, is just a no-go.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. So they both violated the relationship. They don't have the strength to hang on, not even for the kids. Which that's not a good reason to stay together.
Right.
If you're not happy, you're not happy. Because if not, you're going to be shooting each other in a couple
of
years.
Right. At parties,
in front of your friends,
low-key.
Right,
just another Tuesday. Right.
Exactly. That's funny because I think it's. I don't know. An emotional affair to me is, I don't know, maybe I feel like a guy. It doesn't count.
Interesting. I actually agree with you.
Okay. I feel like it doesn't count. Well, thank you for agreeing.
No, I do. I do. Oh, I feel like a dude in that respect, too.
I don't feel like it really counts as much as, like, an actual physical interaction.
All right, After Buzzers, this is where you guys have to join us and join in the conversation. I want you to tweet at us. On this YouTube link right now below, you can comment, you can rate us, tell us what you think.
Definitely.
Do you think, this is the question of the evening, is an emotional affair just as bad as a physical one, or apples and oranges, or watermelons and bananas? Are they two separate things? I know my analogies are totally crap, but whatever. You know where I'm going with this. Let us know what you think. Tweet at us. I'm Miriamel Gonzalez. We have the ladies, which will all give our Twitter handles. Communicate with us. You can also go to AfterBuzz TV and tweet at us there as well. We want to know what you think.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't feel how she felt at that moment when they did have that conversation, which is, you know, back last season, that it really counts.
Yeah, and actually, to add on, too, because you have to think that a physical affair also is an emotional affair.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's two parts.
Like,
Yeah. Like, whereas an emotional affair is just an emotional affair.
Yeah, that's like you being your friends. Like, you have friends. You have emotional, connections and investments in your friends. It's the same way as technically an emotional affair.
All right, ladies. So I'm going to break it down just a little like this.
Let's hear it.
All right. You know, let's say you're talking to guy X and he's hot and you don't have a physical situation. But sometimes some conversations can be so great that your panties get a little on the moist side. And you could wind up never having intimacy as far as peen meets vag. You know what I mean? But every time you see this said person, said X, there's tinglies happening everywhere. And that can cause a draw, which is why in the last season it was a big deal, because she was like, you went to the hotel room. There was that possibility that you were going to have sex with her. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, but it's like what he says in When Harry Met Sally, men and women can never be friends without the sex thing getting in the way. Whether it happens or not, there's always that chance. So.
I don't know. I don't see it in that regard.
I'm agreeing with
you. Just don't see it. I feel like an emotional affair may lead to a physical affair, which means, okay, you really took it there with that person. But if you're just emotionally and you haven't done anything, that means you thought about me, you still considered me, and y'all are friends.
Right.
I think it depends
what you're talking about with this other person. Like, are you sharing things with this other person that you're not sharing with your spouse? Mm-hmm. Then that's a problem. Then you are emotionally cheating, because you're not, you know, there should be no secrets with your spouse. If you're sharing things with this person, then that's a level of intimacy that's damaging to, I think, a marriage. So to not cross the physical line, I think, that you don't want that either.
Yeah.
But I think both can be damaging in different ways. And it depends how strong the marriage is to be able to forgive that. Mm-hmm. If you're strong enough to be like, I don't care that, you know, he or she told this person something they didn't tell me. I know how he feels about me. Maybe it was a one-time instance. But if it's like a, you know, like people have work wives and work spouses, and you can't cross a line with them because, you know, you see them all the time. You spend more time with them than probably your own family.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many stories of people getting to know people at work and then crossing that line. And they never cross it physically, but they share things that they don't share with their spouse. And it's very damaging.
Really?
To a marriage? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So every relationship is different. And your marriage is
absolutely
different.
Yeah. But even to reference the show, I mean, Frances, she did obviously talk about this emotional affair to a great degree. But I feel like what really drove the point home, and when she felt like she was kind of on equal footing of, like, messed upness with Robert, was his, the scandal with the finances.
Because it was a secret he kept from her,
and then she stopped talking about the emotional affair, so it didn't seem like it was as big of a deal.
Because I really don't think it is. If we're married, this is how I feel. This is just how I've done a relationship. But according to her, like, she made a big deal out of it. I would have made a big deal out of the finances. Yeah. That is your life.
Yes.
Like she said, her kids' future.
Yeah.
Like she's buying generic cereal now because they can't afford anything. Yeah. Right. Now that's a financial affair.
Yes. And she gave up so much for him. Yeah. Right. You know, moving from the city. Exactly. And, yeah, having to take on this stable job.
So here we are now. They're in the divorce lawyer's office, and they finally are sitting down, and they are finally signing the papers. And it is exactly these things that are coming into play. The children, the finances, apparently not so much the emotional affair as we were discussing this. Join in on the conversation. We'd love to hear what you think. Now they part ways, but do they? No, they get back on the same train. Traveling
so
together.
Good.
And that's the thing.
The
divorce,
second goodbye.
Yeah, divorce is so not easy. And I think that that's what this show obviously truly highlights, is that these are two people that are divorcing before their children are of age 18. So they are still going to be in each other's lives and still in each other's faces. And if that train ride wasn't a going into the divorce and then leaving. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine if they were really, really hostile towards each other? And they're somewhat hostile towards each other.
Right.
Like, oh my God, the poor train conductor.
Even after 18, like, this person's always, your kids are going to have college graduation and get married and
that other person.
Imagine your ex-boyfriends at all of your, like, loved ones. I can't imagine.
It's messy.
But people do it.
What did Dallas say too about, like, I can't believe you guys share the same train. I wouldn't be in the same state as him or something.
Yeah.
But they're different people. They have to keep it together for the sake of the children. Yeah. Right?
They
the children are clearly picking up on the animosity between the two of them. And we see that that dynamic when their daughter bikes in the middle of the night to the house with no walls, no toilet. She's like, Dad, I'll hold it. Yeah. And she's not supposed to be there, but she doesn't know. She doesn't care. She's daddy's little girl, and she wants to be there. And it's really taking a toll on the kids, and they really are trying to make a conscious effort to try to make this happen. Of course, he's holding on to dear life to these investments of these houses that are just not going anywhere. And it's really, it's kind of sad because the house is just not, like, even his friends, like, sorry. I think it was so sad for him. See, first of all, let's talk about him and the whole job situation.
Yeah.
He's trying to put walls in the house and a possible toilet, and it's going to cost him, what, like $10,000 to do it? And then his friend turns around and is like, oh, but I can give you a job for $20 an hour. Yeah.
Right.
Ouch.
Right.
Exactly. And he's like, I did construction in college. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. He just really put himself in a very, I thought it was an immature thing that he put himself and his family in that situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I can't really feel sorry for him.
I actually feel sorry for him.
I don't. I really don't, because it takes a mature person. Like, we're all adults. We're not out here. I mean, we have, you know, some mess ups here and there, but if you have kids, I don't feel like
you're
thinking about them first. You will do whatever it takes to make sure that your kids are covered and to try as much as possible to provide a life that you didn't have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can't feel sorry for him. He needs to sleep in that house with no walls and no toilet because there's.
And this
I
is
feel
why,
sorry in the sense. Oh, go ahead.
No, this is why I love our panel.
Yes.
We agree and we don't agree, and we're here to find out what you guys want and what you think about this. Tell us what you think at AfterBuzz on Twitter. So, you were about to say
I was just going to say, you know, I can understand just not want, you know, wanting to start your own business, not wanting to be stuck in that finance. I've been there. We've all, you know, I know a lot of people have been there. My husband and I are kind of going for our thing, but we don't have kids. Like, we don't want kids, we don't have kids, so we're like, feel free to do that. But if we had kids, we would feel like, we just can't. You just can't.
Right. It's a whole different lifestyle.
Exactly. I think he is a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't, it's not like, it's not coming out of any kind of malice or him putting himself first, because I don't think he realizes he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But now that they're split and he's living in this house, you can't even have your kids. You can't even have your kids over to have a nice meal to do anything with now, because you don't have a place for them to that's even habitable.
No. So, other right. option was the frat house. That was the
right.
yes.
Like I said, non-habitable.
Happening.
So it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Right.
And
right.
the thing is, he's trying to hold on to these pipe dreams that are obviously not working for him. And he's like, well, what am I going to do? Get an apartment? Yeah, if you want to mm-hmm. see
yes,
your kids.
Exactly.
Get
yes.
an apartment.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And even his daughter said, I have to be the adult. I want to make an adult decision. When she referenced his quote from,
yeah.
you
oh,
know,
yeah.
from the
her parrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moment.
Yeah.
Moment.
We discussed that pep talk.
Oh,
so,
my God.
I mean, we love that Robert is an involved dad. Yay mm-hmm. for him. So
yeah.
we appreciate that. We love that about him. But his pep talk was way too adult for
him. Yes.
It was.
So good.
Teenage little girls, and you start bringing your divorce into the
right.
Office,
right.
They're like, what?
Right.
Right.
But I love that the daughter got the lesson. She's like, I'm changing my future. I'm
yes.
the parrot.
Yes.
right. Yeah. A little too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything
but yeah.
he does makes me laugh, though, when he's like, we're getting our hindies kicked. You know, but it's good you didn't need your inhaler until today.
Right.
It's a yeah. He's trying to make his effort. He's making right. an effort, just not in every area.
Yeah, I guess know. When you get served in front of the team, maybe you feel like you have like kind of
yeah.
an open.
Right. Now they can talk about anything.
Right. You can talk about anything.
Oh my goodness. Well, moving forward, so we see that he does decide at some point to put the house up for sale, and you know that's a step forward. In the right direction for him. But we also see that they're both now realizing, like, divorce isn't easy. Mm-hmm. And the grass isn't as green on the other side. And so now they're, like, doing self-aware makeovers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shaving his mustache. She's doing, what is it, Abs of Steel? Or
right.
the book thereof like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you ladies think about their now moving forward process?
Go ahead.
Oh,
no, I was just
yeah.
going to say it's indicative of, you know, you get what you want and you think you're going to be happy and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
She got exactly what she wanted. She's divorced now and now she can't sleep. She's so unhappy.
Right.
Which happens a lot.
I don't know. I feel like I'm the disagreeer with
no,
everything.
That's why you're here.
Love it.
I don't know if she's unhappy. I don't think she's unhappy. I think she's bored.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
does.
Oh,
once you have a certain life for all of these years and it drastically changes, it's like you have to find new hobbies. You have to figure yourself out in
mm-hmm.
this realm, like in this area. You're single now. That's a different lifestyle than being married. You're a single mom. That's a whole different lifestyle
mm-hmm.
than, you know, when you have help. So I think she may be bored, and it's probably this time where we're going to kind of see, this is just maybe a future thing, where we'll see kind of what they're going through as single people and how they, you know, how life changes for them.
Mm.
I think right now she's just trying to, they're both just trying to find their way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's new. It's all new. You're no
yeah.
longer sleeping next to this person. You're no longer talking to this person every day. This person is no longer getting on your nerves.
Right.
It's kind of like, All right. Like, I don't know what to really do with myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only thing she's really unhappy about is the lack of connection with her kids.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, obviously
yes.
they have that trampoline moment, you know.
Yes.
And I think that Robert probably was that bridge for her for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
now he's not there.
Yeah.
Yes. You know?
Yeah,
he definitely was.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely affecting the kids. And we see that, you know, like you said earlier, in the grocery store, where they're like, well, we used
mm-hmm.
to go to the normal grocery store. Why are we buying, like, the generic brand of cornflakes or frosted flakes and the monstrous thing of toilet paper, you know, and they question why she's no longer doing what she's doing. And I mean, in a way, maybe it's a good example for the kids that, you know, follow your dream. She's following her dream as far as opening that gallery up, even
mm-hmm.
though her
yeah.
friends are like, this is where businesses come to die.
Yeah.
You're like, awesome. You're such a great friend.
Right.
Thanks for your money.
Yeah.
You know? But
right.
it's affecting them. And, I mean, like I said, we have the daughter going to the dad's house in the middle of the night. And then, you know, when she gets on the trampoline, and it's something that, like, the kids wanted back in the day. You know, this is 8 years later. And now you're getting a trampoline, and then,
mm-hmm.
of course, what did she, like, pull a groin muscle?
Yeah,
a
right.
muscle in her inner leg,
mm-hmm.
and then she's laying there on the trampoline, crying her face off, because the kids are like, anyway.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right. Next.
And you see the son just looking out the window at her sobbing, and you could see the pain in his
mm-hmm.
eyes.
Right.
You know? And those poor kids.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're old enough to somewhat understand, but nobody ever wants to see their parents get divorced. It's just such a really crappy thing.
Right.
It's a really, really crappy thing.
I think that this is all in finding herself. Because she's doing a lot. She's actually overkilling a lot of stuff right now. And I think this is just her way of trying to find her way. And then the kids are a little bit older, so trying to connect with them. Like, my mom, she used to always tell me, she used to be like, oh my gosh, we had such a different relationship when you were young. And I think that's what it is. She's used to the relationship when they were young. Now they're old enough to understand things, make decisions on their own, do whatever they kind of want to do.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know. Now she has to learn how to reconnect with them. And she doesn't have a husband in the house.
Absolutely.
So she can not ignore them, but be like, oh, okay, y'all go out and do your own thing, because I have somebody sitting here that I can talk to, or that I can, express myself to. And I think she's trying.
It's harder to blow off the whole, oh, they're just being teenagers.
Right.
Because that's what's natural. You know, you have, when you're a little girl and daddy's around or mommy's around, you're clingy, and then you get to like 13 and you're like, mom, I want to be with my friends. Like, leave me alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, ew, don't walk me to the front door of the school anymore.
Yeah.
You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So they're at that age, and now she's really just trying, both of them are grasping. He's trying to grasp to what was comfortably uncomfortable, which no longer exists, which is their relationship.
Right.
And she's trying to grasp onto the children, which, I mean, they're a few years away from moving out of the house.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the daughter already doesn't even want to be with her.
Yeah.
So that's another thing on top of you just getting divorced. Your daughter doesn't really like you. She doesn't want to live with you. So, your son is just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You also have to kind of think that she's overcompensating and being extremely extra with the kids, because there's this secret. She's ultimately the one who broke up the family.
Well, it's no longer a secret to the son.
Yeah.
Remember, he told him, Dad, my headphones are not on.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And so it's no longer a secret to the kid. So also, it's when he looked in the window and looked at her, was he like, I don't feel sorry for you because you broke up our family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now that I think about it, right, when she's out there laying on the trampoline, he's probably like, you did this to yourself.
Yeah.
You did this to us, Mom.
Because I just didn't feel when he looked, it was just kind of like, like, okay, like, you're out here crying, but I know the real deal now.
He wasn't rushing to hug her.
No.
Yeah, he didn't run outside and say, Mom, are you okay? Like, you know, sometimes he was old enough to have feelings and say, you know what, let's at least try to make her feel better. But he just looked and walked away like, well, this
cold.
Is your own doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is your own doing. So, who knows? Yeah, because I don't know if the daughter knows, because I never saw that, but the son clearly knows the situation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did we miss anything? Because I think it's time to get into some predictions. What do you think?
I think we covered. Did we miss anything?
I think we covered. Well, aside from, was it Diane offering Francis Vicodin or Xanax?
Xanax, yes.
You know, we see them towards the end of the episode trying to come into their own, ending their journey, her popping that bottle of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
You
love that.
Yes.
It's going to be a new adventure for them, and it's going to be a very uncomfortable one for them, but this is the choices that they've made, and we're going to see where it goes. So with that being said, shall we get into some predictions, ladies?
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
All right, so.
We've got lighting.
We do.
Yes. Change of scenery.
There we go.
Predictions. Ooh. All right, we're going to start all the way to the left. We'll start with Kate.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Ah. I don't know. Don't start with me.
Okay. Monique.
It's hard for me to say, because I feel like, what's the guy she cheated on with? What's his name?
Julian.
I feel like he's going to try to come back in her life somewhere.
Oh, they always do. You know that.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. That's why I say that. He's going to try to come back in her life. I think eventually her and the son are going to have a conversation about that. And I don't know about Robert, but I feel like he just needs to figure it out. I hope that he figures it out. So I'm predicting that maybe he'll kind of have to learn how to adult and really figure it out for the kids. And hopefully that they can come up with a better financial situation.
Mm-hmm. No more Costco runs.
Right. No more generic cereals and the big bag of toilet paper. Matter of fact, I like those, though.
I do.
Those last
for a
really long time. Like, I hate buying the necessities, like, every week or every month or whatever. Right. So, yeah.
Love Fern,
what do you think?
I think they're both going to be dating, and it's going to be horrible. And they're both going to wonder, you know, is it worth it to be, you know, you know, like, if you've ever broken up with someone and then you're like out at a bar and you're like, is this my life now? Like, I can't believe this is where I am now. Like, they're going to experience that, like, sadness and wonder if it was better off just being in a miserable marriage. But hopefully they'll get past it and realize, no, but we're going to see some horrible dates. That's my prediction.
All right.
Yes. Well, obviously we see that in the preview that Robert ends up getting a girlfriend. So that'll be super interesting to see, you know, what Frances' reaction is. Is she going to be happy for him? Mm-hmm. Is she going to be jealous? You know, because we don't see her actually having, like, kind of a consistent man. It seems like she's going to be dating.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe she'll be in his bed at one moment and have the affair with him. We'll see.
Oh, good prediction.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. So, all right, for my prediction, Fern, I agree with you guys. It's going to be interesting. Him having a new girlfriend, the kids. I think daughter's going to hate it. I think the daughter is going to hate it. This is a new woman in daddy's life. He didn't have time for mom. Don't like mom. Now this woman? Ah, no. If Julian does come back, because, you know, as my mother always say, those eggs always want salt. So sometimes they come back. Mm-hmm. Although it's said in Spanish, which is even funnier. So Julian might come back for a little taste of dipping his dipstick in the pond.
Right.
And the kids might get, I think, a little crunchy about it. Like, you're the guy that broke up our family. Yeah. So I predict that can possibly happen. But it's going to be interesting to see them out in the dating scene, because it's not that easy. Just, you know, you think the grass is greener on the other side.
No.
Honey, that lawn still needs to be mowed and watered and tended to. And if you couldn't tend to your lawn in the first place, you think you're going to tend to another lawn? Probably not.
And the lawns out there are brown and dry.
Yes.
They look like California's mountains.
After the fires.
Yes.
But for a fun one, okay, I want to throw Diane and Nick in the mix in his whole retirement.
Oh.
I think that even though she's a little crunchy about the retirement, if she stays sober and they stay not talking to each other, I think it would be a good thing.
Really?
She might find that she might like him. She might find that they actually have something in common, because she's like, oh, are we going to go to Paris? Are we going to go to Miami? Maybe they start traveling together with all of his money instead of her giving it to her friends.
I think she's crazy and that's not going to happen.
I think he's going to rein her in. They're going to have to go to Costco and she's going to be miserable.
Or he's going to try to get her pregnant. Remember they had that
whole conversation? Yes, exactly.
Or buy her another big dog.
One.
Right.
Which they were so, like, nilly-willy, like, just willing to give a dog away. So interesting.
So we have a lot to... We are back in season 2. This was episode 1. There's a lot that we're going to find out in the next 7 weeks ahead of us, right? Because there's 8 episodes.
I think so.
We'll clarify that next week. But we were super excited that you guys could join us here on the After Show for Divorce. I'm Miriam Gonzalez. You can follow me on Instagram at MiriamG1. Twitter, Miriam L. Gonzalez. Ladies.
Fern Ronay, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y, and my website, fernronay.com.
And I'm Monique Lovelace, and you can check me out on all platforms at Upfront with Mo, and also make sure you check out Total Divas on Wednesday at 8 p.m.
And I'm Katie Foley. You can follow me everywhere at Katie Did What Now.
All right, guys, you can always hang out with us here on AfterBuzz TV. You can always go and tweet at us on at AfterBuzz. Definitely go to YouTube. Go to the link, comment, tell us what you think. With the question of the evening is the emotional affair just as good
as bad as
a physical one? I don't know. This will be the conversation that we start next week. Until next week, we appreciate your time, and we will see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.